76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, March the 4th. There are three things I want to talk to y'all about today. First thing is about Brett Brown's tenure with the Sixers. It seems like he's in a little hot water or pressures on him right now. My colleague Dave Murphy wrote a great story in today's Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly Daily News, and is on philly.com talking about the pressure on Brown. Intentionally or not, Sixers owner Josh Harris turns up the heat. After that, I want to talk about Joel Embiid. You know, a little latest, he says that he'll be back before next week. I kind of expect him to return, if not tomorrow night against Orlando, Wednesday against Chicago. And the third segment, you know, I just want to talk about the Sixers. Little tidbits, little things here and there. But, you know, if you guys haven't done this, before I get started, I want to let you know you need to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast comes to you 5 days a week, you know, as I alluded to earlier. In addition to doing this podcast, I am one of the 76ers beat writers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. So, you know, if you guys want to come here and get some info, just keep, you know, coming to this podcast and subscribe to it. But first thing first, let's talk about Brett Brown. You know, it seems like an annual thing, even when the team was tanking, that about this time of the year, we always got questions about, is Brett Brown the right coach for the job? Right. You know, people would complain about the team losing leads. People would complain about his rotations. People would complain about his use of timeouts, the team's turnovers, everything. 5 years later, whatever years later from the same complaints keep coming up. And the owner, Josh Harris, the co-managing owner, basically didn't make it any better. Speculation realm when he came out and said, you know, it would be unacceptable or we want to make the playoffs. And he says it'll be problematic, you know, if the Sixers have an early exit in the postseason. And when owners say stuff like that, everyone looks at the coach. The reason why they look at the coach is because, you know, he's the one that's the captain of the ship. Now, as I wrote last week, and as I said in one of my podcasts last week, was that this what the Sixers are trying to do is tough. The last team that picked up a top-flight free agent or made a top-flight trade at the, not free agent, but made a top-flight trade at the trade deadline was the 2004 Detroit Pistons with Rasheed Wallace. The last team. And when you look at the Sixers, I hate to rehash what I said before, but you look at the Sixers, they brought in Tobias Harris, top flight, and they brought in four other role players. And then you look at it, and they brought in Jimmy Butler back in November. And not only that, when you look at those six guys, and then you add Justin Patton to the roster, right, they have seven guys who are new faces. And this is the third team that Brett Brown's had. But we all know if the team should struggle, Brett Brown could be out of here. And here's the reason why. Aside from him becoming a fall guy, you know, right now, the 76ers gave up a lot for Jimmy Butler. They gave up a lot for Tobias Harris and the crew. Right. Tobias Harris' contract expires at the end of the season. Jimmy Butler can opt out of the final year of his contract and become a free agent just like Tobias. Now, what the Sixers did, especially in the Jimmy Butler deal, and I know there are some of you guys out there who feel like Jimmy Butler shouldn't get a max, Jimmy Butler shouldn't get a max. Well, the 76ers gave up so much money, to get Jimmy Butler. They gave up two starters in Robert Covington and Dario Saric. They gave up the Jared Bayless' expiring contract, which they could have traded him somewhere, some another team, and probably got something else. But they wanted Jimmy Butler, and they gave up a draft pick. All right? So, the thing is, if Jimmy Butler walks at the end of the season, I know people are saying, go ahead, Jimmy, walk. Some of you are saying it. But if Jimmy Butler walks at the end of the season, that looks bad. Because even though you have Tobias Harris, you have Boban if he comes back, Mike Scott if he comes back from that trade you had with the Clippers, right? You gave up two starters and you gave up a pick for a guy in Jimmy Butler who is going to walk. Now, typically, if it comes down to if you ask Jimmy Butler, you say, hey, Jimmy, what do you want? Hey, I want to be in a system that utilizes my strengths. Is that what you want? Yeah, I want to be in a system that utilizes my strengths. Well, if the ownership group doesn't feel like the Sixers system utilizes their strengths, his strengths, and he wants to be in a system that will, that doesn't look good for the coach. Because what happens is they'll bring in a coach that will allow him to do what he wants to do. And the concept of keeping everyone happy. So as much as people say, like, hey, you know, if we lose Jimmy, we lose Jimmy. No biggie. Nah, they gave up too much to lose Jimmy. Everyone knows that. And unless Jimmy does something that's crazy, something that really messes everything up, the Sixers are going to try to keep him. The same thing for Tobias. And when you think of Tobias, you got to think that Boban's coming back too. So therein lies the problem. Even though Brett Brown is only didn't have a long time to coach these guys, right? And even though the chemistry is mixed up, I mean, Joel Embiid's been hurt for the last five games. He's been gone for the last five games. So it's going to look different once he comes back. Everyone's going to have to buy in. And who's going to, I mean, let's face it, guys are in contract years. They want to ball. So the thing is, that's where it gets tricky for a coach. Never mind the things that we all know that's holding this team back. But when it comes down to players right now, and this is a players' league, that's why coaches get fired. You know? And you can argue and you can say that, you know, things are getting magnified too much and that Brett Brown did a heck of a job. You know, but when you have mistakes at the end of games, the same mistakes that happened for the last 5 years, 6 years, you know, when even though you have a roster upgrade, where you have two all-stars, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, who still make a lot of turnovers, commit a lot of turnovers, you know, but now you have Jimmy Butler, who was a full-time all-star, but he's not getting as many. He just doesn't look comfortable at times. And then you have Tobias Harris that came on board. So, you know, unfortunately, the coach is the one who gets most of the blame. All right, y'all. So in the second segment, we want to talk about my man Joel Embiid, right? So, you know, Joel had a press conference Saturday before the game, and years. And then from there, it kind of like, you know, we asked him, when does he expect to come back? He wouldn't give a definite date. And then one of my colleagues said to him, Saratai, said, look, just for clarity, you do expect to come back this regular season. You're not sitting out for the playoffs. And that's when he said, I will be back before next week. So I'm assuming when he says before next week is before, not this week right here. This is Monday. I expect the following week, right? And then after that, Joel went out there and he put in a rigorous workout. Was working hard, you know, on the floor. And basically what he's doing now is he's going to work out and he's trying to see how his knee responds to it, right? So that's telling me that he's going to be close to back. The thing is, though, my concern is how, and I might have mentioned this a little bit beforehand, is how is he going to get in rhythm with his teammates? Like, they got used to playing 5 games without him. Let's keep it real now. The Sixers do not go far in the playoffs without Joel Embiid. He is the undisputed best player on the team. You can't argue that. I mean, he makes things better for everyone. Everyone. But what I want to know is, how is he and Tobias going to mesh together? Right now, Tobias is doing all the right things. He's fitting in. He's playing his role. He's doing that. But then you know that he's going to get less touches. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be bickering. But what I'm saying is, how is that going to work? How is going to work back for Jimmy? Because let's face it, you know, Jimmy is supposed to be the closer, the guy that takes over the game. But he often gets lost a little bit in the flow of the game because everyone else has to get their touches as well. So I just want to see how that's going to work. You know, they'll have games to do it. I mean, we got more than 15 games left in the season. The Sixers do. So it's going to work out. But it's going to have to work out, actually. But we're just going to see, just go along and just pay attention to that. You know, and the good thing is the schedule's going to get a little bit easier. Of course, they're going to have Boston. They got Milwaukee, right? But the schedule, for the most part, is going to get easier. So we won't see the losses. We won't see the bickering. We won't see this and that. There's some things that come after losses. Because, see, here's the thing, y'all. When you make a shot, let's just say Ben Simmons is the point guard and they're running on a break. And you have three options. You got Joel Embiid. You have Jimmy Butler. And you have Tobias Harris. So you kick the ball out to Tobias, he hits a three, bang. No one's going to complain, right? Good shot to Toby, that's what they're going to say. But if you kick the ball out to Tobias and he misses the shot, human nature for the other two guys are going to say, look, man, I was open, bro. Next time, give me the ball, right? So that's just human nature. And I'm not saying that, I'm not singling them out or anything like that, but that's just how it is. That's how it is. So, but when you're winning, everything is great. And if you make that shot, everything is great. Because you don't want to come across as that guy like, come on, man, like, why are you hating the brother that scored the point? You don't want to do that. But if they miss those shots, and if you lose games, key games, that's when the bickering comes. So, but at this schedule, I think they'll have time to work them all in. The Sixers are practicing a whole lot more, much more than they used to. So that's good. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Embiid practices with the team today. It's going to take them a while to get back. spoke out yesterday about Andrew Bogut. The Sixers and Golden State Warriors being among the teams that were expected to express interest in him. He just finished his season for the Sydney Kings and over in Australia, his native Australia, in the National Basketball League. He was the defensive best player. That's what they call their award, defensive best player award. And he also won the most valuable player award for the league. You know, my question is, unless Boban and unless Embiid, you know, has the tendonitis in his left knee, Boban has a bone bruise and a mild sprain in his right knee, unless they're worse than what people are saying, I don't see any use for going after Bogut. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, the thing about Bogut is he's another stationary big post player. And the fact that the news comes out a day after Jonah Bolden basically is on fire again. He was 3-for-4 in threes. He was giving Boogie Cousins the business on the offensive end. You know, he can't stop Boogie, you know. But he was baking him on the offensive end. It's just kind of crazy to me. Well, not crazy, but you know, it just, okay. I mean, the Sixers, in my opinion, if they're going to go out and get a guy from overseas, because you can get a guy from overseas now and have him play on, you know, make your postseason roster. You just can't do it for a guy in the NBA. The deadline has passed. But if you go out there and you get a guy, it's going to have to be a guy who would come off the bench, who's a guard, and can be a lethal scorer. Someone who you can just go out there and say, yo, look, this is going to be your role. You're going to come in and you're just going to get buckets. That's what you're going to do. Getting another center, to me, is not helping the Sixers. It's not. Unless guys aren't coming back because of injury. I mean, think about it. Right now, you have Amir Johnson, right, as a seldom-used center. You have Justin Patton, who just overcame injuries and is a seldom-used center. You have Jonah Bolden, who, due to Joel Embiid being sidelined, has proven to be a quality rotation guy. He started the last three games, and he's proven to be a quality rotation guy. Three or four, I think it was four games, I don't know. So, you know, so I'm saying that to say that, you know, you got those three right there. Then you have Embiid and Boban. Embiid's the starter, Boban's his backup. 1-7-2, the other 7-3. And then when you want to go small ball, you have Mike Scott, excelling as a small ball center. I just don't see any use for Bogut. That's just my opinion. And who knows? A lot of times, people always inquire about folk. They always want to know, like, how this guy is doing, you know, this and that, yada yada. So, you know, maybe it could be just be that. But the timing just doesn't seem right unless these guys are injured more than we're being led to believe. But, I mean, I think that they would do better use of a roster if they went out and got a guard who can score. Someone who can, like, take up for the spot that they lost in Landry Shamet. You know, someone just coming and give you buckets. That type of role. Hey, I want to thank y'all for listening.